Last week we started the discussion in connection with the Mishnah on Chof Gimel Amud Bey and the second Mishnah on the third Perek on Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. On Chof Gimel Amud Bey, the third Perek begins, the same Sodom Yavim and Abibim, the Yantar Bey, forbidden to go fishing on Yantar, forbidden to go hunting for wild animals. And Yantar, the Perek and all the Bey Shem discussed, why should it be forbidden to hunt animals? If the rule is for the purpose of local animals. Whatever the answer is, it's a good answer. Either it's also my Torah, it's also my Rabbanon, the Halakha Maitan Dinah that you're forbidden to go fishing on Yom Tov, even though it's also Maitan, you're forbidden to go hunting on Yom Tov. Now in the next Mishnah, on Chol Dalar and Alam, the Mishnah says, towards the bottom of the Gak, the Sudas Chai the Yom Tov and Shasto on the air of Yom Tov, what if you set up traps? You set up nets or traps, and there's Yom Tov to catch animals. Though you come to end Yom Tov, come on Yom Tov, you can find that an animal was caught, that a fish was caught, it's not the kosher animal, a kosher fish. You're not permitted to eat it unless you know for sure that when Ken Yodeya, Shani Todo Viyara Yom Tov. Unless you know for sure that it was caught on Yom Tov. But if you think that it may have been caught on Yom Tov, if it didn't eat that animal on Yom Tov. So the question is, what's wrong? If it's a kosher animal, you didn't do a malacha. If I went hunting on Yom Tov and I did a malacha, whether it's a malacha and I tell a malacha to Rabbanon, I can understand that there's a class of the Rabbanon, there's a penalty. That's how the Rosh of the Shabbos, the Gemara has a machloket Tatanon, what's the din if somebody violated the din of Bisha, he cooked food on Shabbos. Of course, they kept like water on Shabbos, it was a penalty to the end. You're not allowed to drink the water, you're not allowed to drink the food. The Tatanon have a whole dispute for how long does the penalty go. You're only forbidden to eat the food on Shabbos, and you shouldn't eat the food forever. If they should ask us, it also for others, it also for me, there's a penalty. But he didn't do any Abeira. You're permitted to set up nets on Erev Shabbos. That's the dispute the Shabbos is legal. In the end of the first Perek in Shabbos. He passed like this too. He's on an Erev Shabbos. Not only on Erev Yom, he's on an Erev Shabbos. You're permitted to set up traps and nets on Erev Shabbos. Even though you know that the animal may be caught on Yom. But he didn't do anything wrong. And then the animal gets caught or the fish gets caught on Shabbos. On Yom, on Yom, on Shabbos, same thing. So Yom Tov, you're not, Shabbos, you're not allowed to share the animal. Yom Tov, the Retzach over here, Yom Tov, what's wrong if I didn't do any of there in setting up the traps and the nets on air of Yom Tov, and the animal got caught by itself on Yom Tov, why is there a penalty for what I've there? What did he do that's wrong? Why is he forbidden to eat? So the Rishonim have two explanations why you're not allowed to eat. The Ramban, in the Muhammad, on the bottom of the list, gives the two explanations. The one is that it's an issue of Muktzit, Rashi learned them too much. It's not Uka, but if you have a wild animal that got caught, a wild fish that got caught on Yom Tov, you consider that Muktzah. Even though there's a machlokes of Yehuda and Moshinen, whether you hold for Muktzah or not, we discussed many times about the Yaitz in the freezer, and you plan to eat the Dafya on Sunday, there's a birthday party on Sunday, you don't get all plans to eat them on Shabbos, you have to pay for the conditions in the cabinet, if you could say there's no plans to eat them on Shabbos on Yom Tov. The Ramban says this is worse. Even though we were talking Allah Almighty that on normal Shabbos you can eat the ice cream that's in the freezer, even though you have the dafke in mind not to eat it, and you're permitted to change your mind to use the paper of the dishes on any Shabbos on a Yom Tov, Shiloh, whether we talking you're allowed to use the dishes or you're not allowed to use the dishes. On a regular Shabbos we fasting, and Muktzah is Muktzah on a Shabbos. On Yom Tov, the Mechal fasting is Muktzah. Not saying I'm not saying only over the Yom Tov. The Ramban says, no, over here it's worse, that the wild animals that wasn't even caught, that the fish that weren't even caught before Yom Tov began, they got caught on Yom Tov, that's Mamish, Muktzah, Gomer, Beinu Rabbi, the Beinu Rabbi Shimon, that's Moshe. Then the Ramban has another shot, no, why should I say that the wild animal that gets caught on Yom Tov is worse than the ice cream in the freezer? It should be the reverse. The ice cream in the freezer has the same Shimon for Dr. Nazi. The animal is running around. Why should it be murder? Why should it be looked at Roma? So the Ramban is another shot. It's a Zera de Rabbana. Just like you have Taylor's on Moshe, that's what we got it on. Right, just like you have a Zera de Rabbana, that if the fruit fell down from the tree by themselves, it's a Zera forbidding you to eat it, with the Rabbana Zera Shemriyalavi is Moshe, that you may jump up on the tree and they fall from Taylor. And Mashka shows up, well, you're not allowed to squeeze out fruit on Yonta. Well, it squeezes out fruit on Shabbos, and if the fruit or the vegetable got squeezed out by itself, it is a chance to the Zera de Rabbanon. It don't allow you to drink the Mashka Shazov and the Rabbanon. Why? It's a Zera Shem. Well, it is because you may squeeze it. The Tethys gets over here, and Gimlan Ralph, why do you only have to say on Paris and Lotion on Mashkin Shizlogi? Why don't you make it by every malacha that happened by itself? You should say every malacha that happened by itself in Shabbat Yom, so you're also in Hanukkah. There is no such thing at all. And it says the only reason why the animal got caught on Yom is that if it didn't feed it, it's because it looks it. So it holds like the other Shabbat Yom. It holds that that's the Rashi. It says, no one faces it. And that's Gimlan Ralph. The taste is developed that scene in the beginning of the taste. That the reason why an animal that got caught on Yom Tov is forbidden to be eaten is because of Muktzah. Then they say, well, why do I have to give the reason of Muktzah? Why don't I say the other reason that the Rambam says that it's Peiris HaNosh, Mashkish HaZom? So they say, no, this is a special Zera only in this case. The Peiris HaNosh and the Mashkish HaZom means that it's very delicious juice and people are very, let's say, orange juice. People enjoy orange juice very much. It's very Hashemah used called the orange juice. It's a juice that we've got by itself, a grape juice. You add a ton of the grapes on top of each other, so they're going to weigh down. There's going to be a lot of weight and a lot of pressure on the bottom grapes, and the bottom grapes will lose out, and you'll get the grape juice without anybody doing any malacha. So the master should govern it. I lay my luster, because it's very Hashemah used called, because people love very much to squeeze out the juice. And people love very much, they could use the lotion, both of the kappa yivahen, the lotion from the novel. People love very much to enjoy these fruits that are growing on the tree. So we're afraid that the person, if you allow him to eat the pears that fell down from the tree on Yom Tov, or on Shabbos, we're afraid he's going to run up and do them off on his own. But if an animal gets caught on Yom Tov, you're going to make example that he may go hunting on Yom Tov. It takes a long time. It's not just once for you to go hunt an animal. It takes an hour, you have a while. It takes a long while to go fishing, to go hunting. So while he's sitting and fishing and hunting, he will already remind himself. And that's what Shem Damon, he'll already remind himself in a custom. Mashiach is squeezing out the fruit. That's the thing that you do very quickly, and it's the thing that people are very interested in drinking the fruit, that people are very interested in eating the fruits from the tree. So you may, one, two, three, climb up and rip off the thing. That's the Tosafot. The Tosafot claim, based on the Gemara, that there's one separate Zera of Teres HaNosha. There's a fruit that falls out from the tree, it's within the sea, that's one Zera. And then there's a separate Zera, Mashiach Shazavu, the Jews say, that moves out by itself from the fruit in Allah. I mean, Gemara is clear like that, and I didn't know enough. We learned it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's clear from the Gemara. Because the Gemara has a dispute among the Amoraim, where the Beitish and all the Yom Tov falls under this Zera, falls under that Zera. So you see that the two separate Zeras. The one said, well, the Beitish is liquidated, so it should fall under the Zera of Mashmash and Zogu. It's not really sufficiently similar to Teres HaNosha, but Teres HaNosha is a solid. And that will fall down. The other Amora, the other opinion of the Gemara says no. It is more similar to Teres HaNosha because it's an ochel, and the mashke shizavu is a mashke, and the Beit Shinoi even has liquidy, but it's an ochel. It's not a mashke. So the Gemara states clearly that the two separate days. Comes the Ramban and says, yeah, that's the thing. These two Amorim, the rest two Amorim, Rav Yosef, and who's the last one? And Rav Yitzchak, there were four explanations in the Mishnah, but the third and the fourth interpretations of the Mishnah are of the opinion that there's a two separate Zera. There is a Meshim, Mashka Shazavu, and the other Amorim, the Ramban understands, the other Amorim thinks that they're not two separate Zeras, it's one general Zera, any Malacha Shalat is made, Lehom HaShabbos, is also Lehom HaShabbos. So we have a Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, a Gemara tells a Mishnah in Shabbos, and a Gemara tells a Din, what if an I'm forbidden to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha to me on Shabbos and Yom. You know how it works. Whatever I'm forbidden to do, I'm Shabbat and Yom, so I'm not allowed to ask a goy to do it for me. So what happens if the goy did on the boat? He wanted to say that the Tanoim were riding on a boat, and the boat was on Shabbos, and then how are they going to get off in the boat? The goy came, and he took nails and a hammer and wood, and he banged the nails in the wood, and he made a whole, a guideline to be able to walk down so that everybody could walk down to the boat. So the Gemara says, did he do that on behalf of the Jews, or did he do it on behalf of the Jews? Or did he do it on behalf of everybody on the boat? So the Gemara says, did he knew that the chief rabbi was on the boat, that Gamil was on the boat, the chief rabbi. And also he has to answer, did he knew that the rabbi was on the boat? And he really had in mind the rabbi. He had in mind the chief rabbi, either another 100 passengers on the boat, and most of them are going. But he really had in mind the chief rabbi, so his intention was to do it on behalf of the Jews, but that none of the Jews are allowed to be men from the Malacha that they go to. But if he wasn't aware that the chief rabbi was on the boat, he just thought that there were a lot of people, and just suddenly going to pay him. He did a job and found the bomb, he's going to give him a tip, but he's going to pay him for doing the Malacha. So then he did the Malacha, Azad, everybody, on behalf of everybody, and then he drove out the row. He followed the majority of the people on the boat, but the majority of the people on the boat are going to the Malachas who didn't done on behalf of non-Jews, but then the Jews may be mad at from the Malacha. If the majority of the people on the boat are Jewish, they might consider the Malacha was done on behalf of the Jews, on behalf of all the Jews, and they're forbidden to be mad at from that Malacha. That's not even possible. Let's say a boy walks into the room and he turns on the light. And he turns on the light on behalf of all the people who are in the room. So the majority of the people in the room are Jewish. So he did the Malacha on behalf of the Jews in the shul, they committed to ask him to turn on the light. So that's not real enough, and it's a mitzvah of the rabbi. If the rabbi has to daven, and if the rabbi has to learn, so the mitzvah of the rabbi, you're permitted to ask the word. So there's no mitzvah of the rabbi. They're not only by davening, they're not only by learning. Then there's a lecture, and then you just talk about the same by some teaching in China. We're talking about something that's not mishkan mitzvah, mishkan davening, mishkan learning, no, it's not God's mishkan. We're talking about politics. Because you don't have any hesitation to go to turn around the light. So what if he went and he turned on the light, that he permitted to sit in the room and walk around and enjoy the light? So it depends who are the majority of the people in the room. The majority of the people in the room are Jews, and the Goy did the Malach on behalf of the Jews. So no one is allowed to be there yet. No one is allowed to enjoy the light. The majority of the people in the room. Oh, so he did it. No, then he did it for himself. Then he does it for himself, so he doesn't care about anybody. Right. But if he does it on behalf of all the people there, if he has no mind on anybody, take off on Shabbos. Take off on Shabbos, that's your hard life. The ghetto of Hasha. The Gemara in Erevin, the Mishnah in Erevin, the Gemara had long discussions about that. The issue is, if you travel quickly to Kfor Hashav, how do you travel quickly to Kfor Hashav? Because the thing is that if the boat is above 10 tochim from the bottom of the ocean, at the bottom of the river, then it's a shine in the Gemara whether the person is trying to shoot. So everybody in the beginning of Shabbos, wherever you happen to be, you're trying to shoot. So that's your makom. And the Chumash says, Aryeh Tish, and come, you're not permitted to go quickly to Kfor. Kutzukum is very short, but the person is in the city, it's very hard to go Kutzukum unless you walk for hours and hours. You have to walk out. The Kum only begins when you finish going to the end of the city, then you can walk another mill, another 18 minutes outside. If you're in a country, you're in a mountain, and you're not in the middle of the city, even though legally, according to the state laws, you're in whatever, you're in this city or that city, you're always inside the city, but according to Halacha, it's not called a city. In order to be called a city, you have to have a lot of houses and it has to be constructed in a proper fashion. But in the country, it's very easy to go to the Kum. A lot of people ride right to the Kum. You can only walk 18 minutes wherever you are, wherever your hotel is, wherever your bungalow is. You can't walk more than 18 minutes. More than 18 minutes with any foot to the Kum. How long the road been walked? It says they don't constitute a city. In order to constitute a city, how long the road is, if you have a city, then the city continues to extend if you have a house every 70 amas all day. But if you didn't have a city to begin with, then just because I have one house in the middle of nowhere, then the fact that they have one without help me. So usually in the mountains, the city, the houses are not, if they have a bungalow, you have a hotel, they're not constructed in such a way, they're not close enough to be considered an ear. Let's see, mom is inside the town. Have a lot of houses around. Okay, but then in 2 minutes you're going to be out of the town already. The cities are not so good. So the Gemara of the Mishnah and Erevin had such a discussion. A person was going on the ocean to the bottom of the boat, normally, well above 10 tefachim above the floor of the beach, or the floor of the ocean. It's a shiloh, so we go the kula. In Erevin, we go the kula, so we say that you're not finishing. You're above 10 tefachim, above the ground, you're not finishing. But let's say from the time that the boat started to come near dry land, if the bottom of the boat was within 10 tefachim of the bottom of the ocean, then from that point, let's say Shabbos morning at 9 o'clock, they think that the bottom of the boat is within 10 tefachim to the bottom of the ground. And from that time on, you finish Shmita. And then if the boat since then has gone more than the distance that it would take you to walk in 18 minutes, a sheer mill is less than a mile. 8 tenths of a mile or so, then you're ready for the kum. When you're chutz kum, you're not allowed to budge. You're not allowed to go chutz l'dalar amos, as wherever you are. So the boat itself has nothing to do. You can walk around on the whole boat, but then once you walk off the boat, you're ready going chutz l'dalar amos, so you're not permitted to. And it's also thought to visualize that the boat should be within 10 coffins of the ground, but an airplane even. If an airplane lands in the middle of Shabbos, then I just think that person got stuck. There's someone kidnapping on an airplane and took him to, take him on an airplane trip and then they drop him off in the middle of Shabbos. In the middle of the other center. So what do they do? If the airplane was about to land, it starts taxiing around the grounds for a long, long distance. But by the time that the wheels of the plane, goes on the airplane is up in the air, so he's not transitioning, so he's above 10 feet from above the ground level. And once the wheels of the plane are down and touching the ground, and then it goes for quite a few miles, so the minute that the wheels touch the ground, the person on the plane, all the Jews on the plane are transitioning, so that's their marker. That's their marker. And then if the plane goes more than Alpine Mambo, more than a mil, it was around 8/10 of a mile, that is very good to come. But the plane drives back to the same place as the same. It goes around in a circle, it comes back to the same place as the same place. So then you get over the plane and sit there. You can't go too much further. But usually the case is the plane lowers down to the ground, and it goes a few miles. Then it's a very good to come. He can walk up and down on the plane all he wants, but the plane is usually stay up. But he's not going to go off of the plane. They push him off. They're going to kick him off. They leave the plane. They can kick him off and he has to stay there. He can't go on. But that's the Golden Beit HaKiv says. So he wants to go, okay, how can I help you? You can go to Beit HaKiv. So welcome to cover up here. They will not be able to go. Ashayla is the 12 mil in the right figure. I'm always making even a man. It's the 12 mil in the right figure. It's not
allowed.
Not allowed. The only thing that might have been good would be if I think all the airports have fences around them to make sure that the shibboleths don't have all kinds of nuts on them. But if you have a fence around the airport, then it should have the status of Rishon Lezion, but the whole thing should have the status of Rishon Lezion. And is there a gentleman? When they landed on it, But you have to figure out that's how I'm still on that. I'm not familiar. I don't drive a car, so I don't know what New York is like. You have to know if you have a fence around the airport, then the whole airport should be considered one big issue. Say, okay, so even if the plane landed here, I don't say that I'm already hooked when I get there. The whole area is one big issue. Say, okay, so you have an area all around, but then you're never going to hook to the only question is, if there is a din of carpet, normally there is a din of carpet, that if you make a nechita around an area where nobody lives, if the area is too big, the two things are very small. The airport is much bigger than you're supposed to be. The car is too big. Yes, if you have an area that's more than 50 yamas by 100 yamas, 50 by 50 yamas is called the base door in the Gemara language, in Kiddush language. If you have 50 yamas by 100 yamas, that's a base door size. It's a double base door. That was the size of the Chatzar HaMishkan. That was the size of the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made. It was 100 yamas by 50 yamas. And the Gemara says, if you make an achit around an area, it's on a farm, and that's on the kibbutzim, the yeshiva. That's kibbutz next door to it. So everybody knows, all the boys in the yeshiva know the thing. But if you make an area around the whole area, and you have big farms there where nobody can walk, you have big farmland where they're marked, no one should walk, because you're going to ruin the things that are growing, but that has a status of a character. It's from the Rapper, so you should say, you have to come to the Rapper, and the Mechit is somewhere else there. Or if you have an area, you can walk all you want, but nobody lives there. There are no homes, nobody lives there. If you have an airport, nobody lives at the airport. People work at the airport, they eat there. They have to eat there on the job, but that's not called living there. Nobody really lives there to clean it. If you have an area that's enclosed, a perfect mechit, that should be mechit to prevent outsiders, not come out to your outside. It has a real good mechit. Better than any area in the world. It has a perfect mechit to prevent people from coming in. But still, if nobody lives there, so okay, it should become a carpet, and a carpet is not considered a mechit there. That's the question. Some folks might hold that an airport is not considered a carpet, because the airport is in the Shamash, the city. It enhances the use of the city by enabling more people to travel in and to travel out. The Shaza, that's unclear. If you have an airport, the way we have all the time, the airports have them at least around, is that the plane lands on Shabbos. And it lowers down the wheels over here, and then it taxis away more than 8/10 of a mile away. And then they drop you off in the middle of Shabbos and run. So it's a question whether you consider chutzpah tumah. The question, because of the fact that there is a chitzah around the airport, doesn't make it into Rishus HaYachid. So you're not gone chutzpah tumah. Should you say no, that this is a campus because nobody lives there? She didn't say no, even though nobody lives there, but the purpose of the airport is to enhance the establishment of the city. It's like a ball field, let's say, or something like that, where also nobody lives. Let's say they have a park where nobody lives, but it has an chitza around it, and that's the establishment of the city. You want to have a nice park in order that the people should enjoy going there, playing football or basketball or baseball, whatever. And Shulchan Aruch says that since that's material to the city, it is called Book of the Jews. That's a shout out name. So getting back over here, so there is a din, no more. There is a din in Gemara Erevin. There is a din in Gemara Shabbos. If the Goy does Malach on behalf of the Israel, or on behalf of a group of Israel, then it's forbidden for any Jew to be Nana to not Malach on Shabbos. You have to wait till Matur Shabbos, the Chedei Shiyah. You're not the time that it would have taken the Goy to do that Malach on Matur Shabbos. If the Goy does Malach on the Shul Goy, on Shabbos, for himself or for another non-Jew, then it's permissible for the Jew to be Nana to not Malach, even on Shabbos right away. What happens if the malacha happened by itself? Not that a goy did it for a Jew, a goy did he do it for a goy. The malacha happened by itself. So it doesn't say in the Gemara what they did. So okay, in the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that it should be mitzvah. The only time it's forbidden for me to be nana from a malacha that a goy did is, if it was done on behalf of me, on behalf of some other Jew, then it's also be selling homeless and men. That's part of the favor of Amir Yafi. Now that he has some non-Jew to do malacha for you, so what if he won't ask him to do malacha, he'll do it on his own. And you'll make believe as if he did it on his own. I'll ask the goy to do it, and I'll make believe as if he did it on his own. So in order to be mechazik the Yisra the Rabbanon, among the other Nachi, they said that even if it's really true that the non-Jew did it on his own, you're still forbidden to be men. In order to prevent people from making believe that the goy did it on his own, and they're being men. But Lachar, the Yisra, offhand, the Yisra should only apply if it was really done on behalf of a Jew. But if it wasn't done on behalf of a Jew, it wasn't done on behalf of a goy, of the Pashtas, it should be Mutta. So this Ramban, Allah Fadal, says it's not so. That any malacha shenatus me'eleho, the malacha happened by itself on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is forbidden for a Jew to be nana. The only time you have a heter is if the malacha was done for a non-Jew, then it's a heter. The malacha was done, yes, it's a non-Jew, somebody had it on the non-Jew, then it's permissible to be nana. But if the malacha was done not for a Jew, not for a non-Jew, who did the malacha for what purpose? Happened by itself. The animal got caught in the middle of Shabbos. I stayed up in that Sunday on Shabbos, when the animal gets caught, or the fish gets caught on Yom Tov, so the Ramban claims that you're not permitted to be Nana. But he claims that it's not a separate Zera, Mashka, Shazel, separately, and Paris, and Moshe, separately. It's one big encompassing Zera that applies even to situations with long, tedious malachas, like going hunting animals. You can't say, in 2 seconds, he's going to go hunt an animal, we're afraid he's going to do it. That's very hard. Yeah, it's very hard to do it. Still, the Ramban claims that the Zera applies, and the only time it's Musa Behonah from a malacha that happened on Shabbos and Yom Tov is if it was done on behalf of a goat. But even if the malacha happened not to be male, it's also to be man. But that's the kasha that you left last week. So what if you have a light? What if you have a light on a Shabbos clock? And the lights go on Shabbos? Lights go off on Friday night, and the lights go on Shabbos morning again. So why not say that that should be a little work? Should be malacha should not be male? It should be also to be man and from the light. That's the kasha. According to the Ramban, we don't necessarily have to pass like the Ramban. The Shabbos is one should hold like each Ramban, who has a chiddush that a malacha shenatus me'eleho is forbidden to be nana from. The only time he's permitted to be nana is if a nachri did a malacha for a nachri. If there was an intention to do it in the benajah, then it's mutter. But if that by itself, then it's forbidden to be nana. So what is our common practice that we are nana from the lights that go on Shabbos? Let's say you left
on the
chowm. The chowm is gone, so I gotta get cooked on Shabbos. All those cases, you're not gonna be nana on Shabbos. You're not gonna wear the clothes on Shabbos. So let's say the chowm is gonna eat on Shabbos. That's the conscious. So how can you leave a raw food on the fire on Shabbos and it gets cooked into Shabbos? So fine, you didn't violate anything. He didn't do any of those. Then you're not allowed to eat it. And Malacha Shana is a Tmeila. Malacha is attacked by itself on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not allowed to be manna from that Malacha. How can it be? The answer is, same answer to the other question about the Shabbos clock. How do you have the light go out on the Shabbos clock? So the answer is, that's not called a Malacha that happened by itself. That's called a Malacha that a Jew did on Erev Shabbos. That he did, considered as if he finished the whole Malacha on Erev Shabbos. Because the Mukhi Yaseh has a famous Kasha in Bava Kama. And the second Derek and Bava Kama, the Gemara has a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and the Shlokish. How does one understand what it says in the Chumash of Kasha Shlokish is a hezek of Eish? So the Gemara has a machlokish, what's the nature of the din of Eish? If I walk into your house and I strike a match and I start burning down the whole house, that's Adam Hamad. Adam Hamad, of course, has to pay for anything that is known. What if I didn't make Adam Hamad if the maid did it in this cup? I'm making a weenie roast or whatever in my backyard. I wasn't careful and I went away and I left the fire. He takes the age, the Chumash says, may I ask him, he takes the age. I'm also toasting, and then the flame goes from one thing to the other, and then accidentally it burns down my next one age's property. He said, why is it that I'm caught? Should I say the age is Mishum Amono, that's what the Shlokhi shows, age is above an Amazigh. You can't say it's above an Amazigh. We didn't do it the maiden of the Mishkan. It's like I have a shore, like I have a behemoth that's running around. And it makes Hezekin, so I have an Eish that's running around. The Eish made a Hezekin. Well, should you say no? But Rabbi Yochanan says, that's how he's talking. If not only is Eish considered Maman HaMazik, it's worse than that. It's Maman HaMazik plus more. Eish on Mishum, he's considered as if he shot an arrow, and the arrow made a Hezekin. But that's how he's talking like Rabbi Yochanan. Sometimes Eish is only Mamono, and most of the time, Eish is Mishum Chizkin. So in Luki Eish, it has a Kasha on everyone. Who says it's a commentary on the side of the ridge? On Baba Kama, all of the deacon is in the field. They bothered with Akasha. How does a woman say she lives on Erev Shabbos? If the woman lights the candles, if a husband likes what? Somebody lights the candles on Erev Shabbos, and the candles continue to burn into Shabbos, and you say that the flame that continues to burn is considered as if I'm doing it. So the woman, whoever lit the candles, is Machal Shabbos. It's considered as if, even though they went away, they went to sleep, they went to show whatever, it's considered as if they're continuing to do whatever is happening, so it should be considered as if they're burning the candles on Shabbos, and even though they didn't strike the match on Shabbos, but the Malacha of Havara doesn't, the Malacha of making a fire, doesn't only apply if you strike a match. If the fire is burning and you put in a piece of paper, it's the exact same violation of Havara, whether you strike the match, or the fire is there and you put in a piece of paper. Why not? That's the kasha. Why not say that since it's a hemshech of my pe'ula, so I'm still doing it on Shabbos. So that's the Mukhi Yosef answer. That's right. It's considered as if you did it on Erev Shabbos. Whenever I do something, and it's obvious that the time that I do this, that it's going to lead to, I do A, and it's obvious that A is going to lead to B, C, D, and E, it's considered as if everything was included in the original pool at the minute that I did it. So the Nebuchadnezzar says, based on this Achidah, she says, what happens if a man has this weedy roast in his backyard, and he's not careful about the fire, and the fire goes and burns down the whole neighborhood, so he has to pay? It's a din of Adam HaMazik, he has to pay. What happens if a man dies, he has this barbecue in his backyard, and he dies, he gets a heart attack and he dies, and after he dies, then the flame goes out of control, and it makes the hell. Can you say that he has to pay? That the people who have the business, all the Nizokin, all the people who suffer damage, should come to his Yoshim and take away their property because there was a sheep in the chosim on my property to pay for the hell. And if it happened after I died, I didn't do the hell while I was alive. So the Messiah says it doesn't matter. Since it's clear now that ultimately my body through fire is going to lead to a hezek, it's considered as if I did the entire hezek at the time that I was still alive. You know, chronologically, after I died, but the halacha declares that whatever follows from my pula is contained within the original pula, and it's considered as if I did it all with the initial pula. So he says that's the reason why he committed to light the candles. Not everybody agrees with it. He says the Hashem will say that there are a lot of shame and disagree. So that's the Mukhiyasin thing. But he considered as if everything that follows later was contained within the pula that he did originally. So that's why the people are committed to bench lift on Friday afternoon, or you're committed to set up the system of Bayim Malacha. Begins on Friday and continues in the Shabbos before all of the Malacha that follows is considered as if it's contained within the original action that I did, and the Malacha was not just on Erev Shabbos.
True, I did the whole malacha. I never shabbat. Don't say that it's continuing, consider it as if I continue to do the malacha on shabbat. So you see, if I did it, I have shabbat. Oh, so if I said that the shabbat's right, but the eighth place is considered as if, yeah, that's not a malacha shanatis me'elecha. When the lights go on shabbat morning, let's say at 11:30 in the morning, I said it, when I come home from the shul, should go on, 11 o'clock. So it's not considered as if a malacha happened by itself on Shabbos. No, it's considered as if, oh, I did the malacha on Friday. I did the malacha on Friday, of course I could be mad at that malacha. Oh, so that's what the state operation time is. He picks on the Mufiyas and he says, the Rishonim might perhaps agree with the Mufiyas says, if I did a malacha and it continues straight, but if I have a barbecue and it doesn't, and I get a heart attack and I die, and then the flames start expanding and making a headache later, and as it didn't even begin while I was alive, how can you say that's all related, it's all contained within the original book? That's the title that the Kesef HaChoshen has against them. Okay, he says that not everybody agrees with it. Okay. That's why some thoughts came home, that you're only permitted to set up the Shabbos clock to turn off the lights on Friday night. Let's say I put a candle up. The candle's going to burn forever. If you have a short candle, it burns for a half an hour. How many candles burn for half an hour? You have a Shabbos candle, it burns for 4 hours. You have a Pascha candle, it burns for 10 hours. You have a bigger candle, a Yahrzeit candle, it burns for 24 hours. You're not willing to bench. Let's say I turn on electric lights. You're willing to leave on light that should burn forever and ever on that. So you put on lights on a Shabbos clock. You go off in the middle of Shabbos clock. So that's not a problem. Set up a Shabbos clock to turn out the electric lights. It's not a problem. Middle of Tehillim, when I lit the electric light, it's only going to burn for X number of hours. That's not a problem. But if I set up a Shabbos clock that the light should go on in the middle of Shabbos, on Shabbos morning, so there was a big machlokes among the Achrayim whether that was permissible or not. So many Zerim and many Yisrael. 78 years ago, many Zerim held that that was up. Why? With this calculation. In the book of Yates, there's this kasha, how are you permitted to light candles on Friday? If it's considered that whatever happens is considered as if you're doing it. So you're burning the candle on Shabbos? So he said, no, it's considered as if you burned the whole candle that's going to burn on Erev Shabbos. If everything was done by you on Erev Shabbos, because everything was contained in the initial action. And the Kesef HaChoshen time is that that's only if it's continuous. But he said that there was a hot socket. And he can't say that everything was contained. So let's say the lights go up and the lights go on again on Shabbos morning. What are you going to say? It's considered as if all that was included. The lighting of the lights on Shabbos morning was also included. I did it on Friday. But there was a hafsaka in between. So that's why if you put together the reason why the Mufiyatim says you're allowed to light candles the Chalal on any right. And it says the Chayshon's Taina against the Mufiyatim. But then you would be forbidden to set up a system whereby the Malacha begins on Shabbos. To have a sprinkler system set up on Friday afternoon and it continues into Shabbos. It's the famous in the Gemara that that's moving. To have, let's say, any malacha begin on Friday continues into Shabbos, that's the machlokes of the Shana Bisil, the end of the first period of Shabbos. And we pass like Bisil, that is Mutter. But to set up a Shabbos clock where the malacha should begin on Shabbos, so how can you say that it's all considered as if it's contained within the action that I did on Friday? It didn't begin there. It began in the middle of Shabbos. And that's why there were many parts of that was forbidden. That's the majority of the parts of that is Mutter. Set up a Shabbos clock where by a malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos, it was also Mutter. They didn't accept the reason why, because they didn't accept the reason of the Nemuchiyasis. They didn't accept the reason why the Nemuchiyasis says you're permitted to light candles, but it's all contained within what you did on Friday. They gave a different reason why. And that's Kasha of the Nemuchiyasis. How can a woman, a famous Kasha in Bava Kamal is like her, how can a woman bench lift on El Shabbos, the Tisha Mishim Chikta, so it's considered as if she's burning the candle on Shabbos in some of the So the Mufiyatim gave his answer, yes, considered if she did it all, Mibol Yom, if she burnt the whole candle on Friday. The others give a different answer. Back up, so they were so convinced that the other answer, they wrote, so convinced that the other answer was the correct answer. When he read the Mufiyatim, he thought that that's what the Mufiyatim said. So the Chacham Sefer and the Tshuva, and many others, the Beis Meir, many others give a completely different answer. They say that there's a klal, Malach HaShabbos, you can never violate Malach HaShabbos to shave the altar. You can only violate Malach Shabbos before the Yom Tov. There's a din you have to have, in order to be Chayiv Malchus, you have to have a Lash Yesh Lamayis. In order to be Chayiv Chatos, you have to have a Lash Yesh Lamayis. But in order to be Chayiv Mitzvah, there is no such din you have to have a Lash Yesh Lamayis. But for Chilul Shabbos, the Achrayim have developed an idea.
that if you don't have a kumi atzei, there's no such thing as a malacha b'shem b'yaltan. That's what the Yachari would say at Teres. That's not what the Mubiyat is saying. He answers that it's considered as if he did everything on Friday. But the Yachari, a lot of Yachari do the standing answer. If the person benches this, then they walk away and they go to sleep, or they go to shul, and they're talking, and they're not involved in it, they're not engaged anymore in doing anything. And then true, the malacha of burning the candle is happening on Shabbos, but they're doing it b'shem b'yaltan completely passively. They did a kumbi atzei activity on Friday, but on Shabbos they're completely passive, so you can never violate till Shabbos b'shem b'yaltan. If that's the answer, if the answer to the kasha, how can you bench this, is because b'shem b'yaltan, there's no malacha Shabbos, but it doesn't make any difference whatsoever whether it's, whether it's continuous, if the sprinkler system began on Friday continues into Shabbos, or you set the Shabbos clock that the sprinkler system should go on in the middle of Shabbos. And that's what most of the authority will make along that. Shabbos said later on they found that stopped Yaf in the Rambam on Masechta Shabbos, supposed to be by the Rambam. A commentary on Gemara Shabbos, we have from the Rambam, we have a Pirush on the Shabbos, and we have a Yaruch HaZot, but we don't have too much on the Rambam. But once in a while, once every 100 years, somebody discovered that stopped Yaf from the Rambam on a Gemara. They have a Roshana a little bit, stopped Yaf in the Rambam, and they have a Masechta Shabbos. After this was disputed by the operator, whether he permitted to set up the Shabbos plot whereby the lights are going to go on in the middle of Shabbos, so a minority opinion was that it's forbidden, and a majority opinion was that it's permissible. It is covered in manuscripts, and the Raman that was printed around 50-60 years ago, the Raman says that it's up there. The Raman says that it's up there. He says that on the Gemara Shabbos, the Mishnah says, they still have opinions, it's permitted. Instead of the system of Bang Malacha begins on Friday, it continues into Shabbos. But if the manuscript is authentic, it says, Vamedvam Amur, maybe this is permissible, if the Malacha began on Friday at least, if it didn't begin on Friday, you set up the system, something like the Shabbos part, you set up the system about the Malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos, then the Rambam says that it's forbidden. So what do you do? You have a Rambam says not. So the Gdolim and Eretz Yisrael helped when they discovered and printed that Rambam, they decided that since they had already discussed it and debated it and they voted that it was Musaf, the flat said it was Musaf, Musaf. They already had them up like if they weren't aware of this Rambam manuscript. Didn't say fasten that it's Musa, it's all blind and that it's Musa, that's the way it's done. Shabbos though, but they only had, they didn't talk about a sprinkler system. They were talking about light, Shabbos. Some say that maybe, that's what Moshe Feinstein has looked at, he said, maybe they only allow you to set up a system whereby the Mavoch is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos by light, because turning on lights enhances Shabbos. And let's say the sprinkler system, and the world is going to come to an end if you have the, you turn off your sprinkles into the Shabbos. Well, it's not the Shabbos that the Lord should be watered every single day. We don't live in the Sahara Desert. We don't live anywhere. Well, you begin on Friday. You have to water begin on Friday, continue in the Shabbos. The water doesn't have to be, you don't have to water the ground out at the exact same time every day. So you begin the sprinkler system on Friday and continue in the Shabbos. Make machinery for Shabbos. Okay, that's the issue. That's the issue with the VCR. The VCR. If you have some very, very important show on television, football games about this America pageant, something very important, so the person absolutely can't miss. Yeah. I'm sorry, tell you on television. Okay. Someone's giving a shiur on television. In order to still that, but if they don't have our show. So something very important is happening, and a person is not allowed to watch television on Shabbos. Yeah. So he sets up a VCR, a system whereby nothing appears on the screen, everything is on Shabbos clock, and it'll record, it'll make a picture of, make a picture in the second tape of everything that goes on. Let's hear it right quick. If you happen to be sitting there by, you hear a click when it goes on, you hear a click when it goes off. And he absolutely doesn't do anything. The husband and wife, everybody's in shul when all this is happening. It can be in a different room, in a different house, you don't even have to be there. So is there anything wrong with setting up such a system? There were rags, the VCR, and the Shabbos clock. So when this was yesterday, I was on it, he gave the guy. I wasn't there, but they told me that he said, absolutely all. Absolutely, he said that it's all. Then I asked him why, he started to figure out what's wrong. He started to figure out what was wrong. But the player, what's wrong is, okay, so the Shabbos clock's not the answer, Dick. It's in a different house, he's not even there. The part of the problem is this, if you were to do this on Shabbos, let's say, what's wrong, what's the malacha? What's wrong if I do it on Shabbos, not Yom Kippur? No, let's say
something. Someone is giving a speech, and I want to take the speech. Someone wrote a shuva recently. Siddishi read had some beautiful, beautiful niggas in davening. One of them set up a tape recorder and a Shabbos clock to voice activate whatever in order to take the Rebbe's nigunim on Shabbos. So one of them abonim, one of the contemporary abonim from Brooklyn, wrote a whole shiva whether it was right or wrong. Rabbi Poy, I think, Rabbi Menashe Poy, wrote a whole shiva whether it's right or wrong to do that. So what would be the malacha? What's wrong if you take the speech on Shabbos? What's wrong if you record a movie on Shabbos? Let's say I couldn't learn Shabbos. What's wrong if I move out, the person is speaking, and I take a tape recorder and I put it right in front of him on Shabbos? What's the malacha involved? We assume that this is a malacha of the ksiva not only applies if you write Hebrew, English, you write, or if you draw a picture of the ksiva. If you make that Stephen an author, if you make a picture, the Rambam holds that Stephen an author. If you write them a holiday, it's even in any language. If you write even two letters, two words, it's in Rambam. But even if you do Rishima, if you take record someone's voice so that later on you can replay it, that's also called Stephen. You can't, if you look at the tape, you can't see it. So it's probably not Stephen an author, but we assume that that's Stephen the Rabbana. The same appears if somehow you have the ability to take a photograph of something that's happening on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Or I take movies of something that's happening. If you watch them a lot, you do it all to see it. But I recorded something, and I'll be able to see the picture later on. So that's like Stephen with the Rabbana. So now the challenge is, if I set it up on Friday, that if you have myself on Shabbos, I'm setting up the system of buying the Malacha, Stephen with the Rabbana, it's going to happen on Shabbos. So we said, well, that should be Mutter. We set up the system on Friday, but buying the Malacha is going to happen on Shabbos. It should be Mutter. However, that was enough later. But that's only permissible if it begins on Friday. But if it begins in the middle of Shabbos, that was a machlokes. So most of the Gedolim held that it was mutter anyway. And if they found the Pirush, if they found the Rambam on the Gemara Shabbos, they still said that it's mutter. But the Shabbos, their whole discussion was about light. Maybe it's only mutter by light, because that enhances the Shabbos. But if it's something like a VCR which doesn't enhance the Oinim Shabbos, then maybe it's not proper to be made. So again, we're going
to have to do it. What are you doing?
You have a cloud that whenever there's a machlokes whether something is forbidden or not, so even if you hold that it's forbidden, there's no penalty to be yet, that you're not allowed to be yet. Either many of our brothers say that it is permissible. We're not going to argue with Rabbi Soloveitchi, but there are people who don't agree with him on this. They hold that it is permissible. Big Rabbi Bonham is one of these. They hold that it's permissible to set up a VCR on Arab Shabbos. I know for the Miss America time, but that's not the first
thing. I never set up my VCR. There'll be a program Friday night at 9 o'clock. I put the thing there. And I forget about it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it recorded.
That's what we're talking about.
I know.
Is it permissible to do it or not? The Rabbi Soloveitchik said that it's not permissible. And others hold that it is permissible. But if you did it already, even if you hold that you're not allowed to do it, but you can't say that there's a penalty, you're not allowed to be nannied from it. If you cook food on Shabbos, the whole day is forbidden, then the penalty you're not allowed to be named. But if you did something that there's a machlokes on, even though you personally hold that you're not allowed to do it, but there's no class for the other, since there are those who hold that, it is going to be that.
Speaking to a microphone.
Okay. This is worse. To record the speech is Stephen with the Rabbonim. That's for sure. The microphone, we're not fully, not so sure exactly what the issue is. The Gedolim said 40 years ago, even if you're not sure, you shouldn't use the microphone. The Rabbonim should punch them out. Sure, they gave four reasons and check, but we don't do it. But we're not really sure on any, Rabbi Moshe himself writes, we're not really sure about any of the four reasons. Let alone all four reasons, we're not so sure. Might the call, the chayrish, should only be forbidden if you do something on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but if I set up a VCR, I'm good, then I'm right. How can you say that I'm violating the Might the on Shabbos or Yom Kippur if I don't do anything wrong with it?
Yeah, I got Shabbos and
They could go off later. So what's he doing? The light is burning anyway. Let's say a light, let's say a candle is burning and the window is open and the wind is blowing and a lot of the wax is getting used up. And the candle is going to go out in 1 hour because the wind is blowing. So I close the window and the wind stops blowing and it burns for 2 hours instead of 1 hour. So that's a malacha. It's not a malacha. Yeah, but let's say this case was that the electric light is on Vancouver Park. The light is scheduled to go off at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And I want to move the apparatus that it should stay out for another 2 hours. So I'm not causing the light to go off. I'm just preventing it from going off at 2 so it'll go off at a later part. That's another thing. People in the plant are doing malacha. That's another thing. So let's say in America, let me ask you, the people doing the malacha, they follow God. The grain are doing the malacha. That's a unique problem. That's a problem. No.
You have like
So you prevent the keepers from occurring. Why should not be from the okay, so he pointed out something correct, that the malacha by light is only the initial putting it on and the act of putting it off. By a candle, as the candle continues to burn, you're burning up fuel. So that's also havara, that they have a fire that's on a piece of paper. That's also havara. But by the electric light, you're not violating havara every minute of the way that piece of paper. Only when you turn it on, you turn it off. That the light is on, the electric light is on anyway, and it's supposed to go up the tube, and it takes out the tape, so it doesn't go off. To prevent the malacha keeping from occurring, or to postpone the malacha keeping, I think that shouldn't be a problem.
Are you consuming an object? You're not consuming an object. It's a problem. That's the problem. The kolishim alapsuliyis will be assumed that the whole gadget. You have to do it with some other part of the body. You shouldn't do it with your hands. You shouldn't do it with your hands. You shouldn't do it with your teeth or whatever. With the elbow. Yeah. Yeah, the other body. Usually the dishwasher runs like this, that unless the door is closed, the apparatus won't function. So when you close the door, you're enabled, if you close the door at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, but you're closing the door at 8 o'clock enables the mechanism to go up at 12 o'clock. Right. But that they're not permitted to do. You know, at the time that you close the door at 8 o'clock, nothing happens, and luck only happens there later, that's not permitted to do. But you can solve that problem. And many, some dishwashers here, some no, it depends what time you have. You take down the button on the door, if the door will be open, the apparatus will be running anywhere at 12 o'clock, so then that problem is solved. So when you close the door, you're not setting up, you're not enabling the apparatus to go, it's going to go anyway. So the only shaila is that the Gemara says this is more than they mentioned. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of Shabbos that you're not permitted to have a water mill drying flour on Shabbos because it makes a lot of noise. Let's say I put in a lot of flour in the water mill and the river is flowing by itself and the mill is running and the flour just grinds by itself and it gets all ground up. And it begins on Friday, continues into Shabbos. So the problem of beginning a melacha on Friday between Shabbat that's to dispute the Shabbat degree. And we pass out the field that it's permissible. The Gemara says, but if it's a water mill, it makes a lot of noise, and it draws attention to the fact that the melacha is occurring on Shabbat, even they couldn't agree that that's not permissible. That's what sometimes that if you have a dishwasher that makes noise, so it will draw attention to the fact that the circuit is completed, which we assume is some kind of a melacha on that. The completed circuit. The third out of electric line, was assumed by most Rabbanim in Europe to be in the law of their right of Havara. So the Rambam quotes at the Sefer that if you heat metal till it glows, that's called Eish. So if you turn on electric light, that's called Havara. You're making the fire. If you turn off the electric light, it's called Kibbutz. But if you plug in a fan, or you plug in a dishwasher, you plug in a refrigerator, so what's the law of there? No metal is glowing until the incandescent. So what's the law of that? So we assume that that's the Malacha also. To complete a circuit is the Malacha. What's the Malacha? Even with Makara Pavisha and Bonin, the Chazanish was of the opinion that the completed circuit is a Malacha Deraita, and most other Gedolim didn't speak that it should be a Malacha Deraita, Makara Pavisha, but they thought based on a passage in the Gemara that set a system in motion should be a Makara Pavisha de Rabbon. It's a Malacha of Bonin or a Malacha of Misakim Monim de Rabbon. So it is some kind of a Malacha or another. But if you set the system up on Erev Shabbat, it should function on Shabbat, it should be Mutter. The only question is, but attention is drawn to the fact that the law has returned to because it makes a lot of noise. But then the shaila is, but if it's going to go up, it's 2 o'clock at night. It's going to go up 2 o'clock at night, no one's going to hear the noise. Everybody in the neighborhood is going to be sleeping, no one's going to hear. That's what comes up on the thought, that it should be moved. One question is, but maybe it should be like the VCR, that should be okay. But I'm like for NACO. They're only not my VCR. Those are all that are talking. Why? Because life enhances the shaila. The VCR doesn't enhance the shaila. What about the dishwasher? The shaila, the women claim that the dishwasher in him is there, like the shaila, very, very much. Rashi, the only look from the viewpoint of Lazarus, look from the viewpoint of the what? A shaila. It has to be on a shaila clock, and it has to be, what? Everything is important. Everything is all set up from the school. Everything is all set up from the school.
The water is pumped sometimes,
you take the water and
flush it up
the back of the
water. You activate a pump of water in that little area.
So
that machine may be on your
own. Would
you activate the pump? Would you flush it up?
That's the problem.
The same time
you can see it. Yeah. Rosh itself, the Rosh has in the state that it's only, it doesn't advise to use a Shabbos clock to set up a system whereby Malacha will begin on Shabbos only for light, because the light enhances Shabbos.
He says, the air conditioning is only in Shabbos, so he says no.
But
the Americans dwell, so the climate is much hotter, so they assume that you're permitted to set up the system of how the air conditioning goes on. It doesn't answer. Why do candles look there? The Gemara Matzah Shabbos says, why do look there? The Gemara gives Goren a different explanation. Why? Because the flame cannot be used on Shabbos. You can use the light that comes from the flame, you can use the heat, the warmth, by putting your hands on the warming up. But the actual flame per se cannot be used on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, yes, you can light another flame from it. But on Shabbos, you need to light another flame from a flame. So halacha, so the flame is considered the dovah she'ein bo hishtamshus klal. So the halacha considers the trees as like a piece of junk, like eitz mavon on the altar. So because the flame is muktamah mizgufo, that's real muktamah mizgufo, it's not like a hammer or a screwdriver that's a push malach to the yisrael that you permitted to move this al gufo, this al kama. No, this is muktamah mizgufo, the flame has absolutely no, you have no ability to use it at all. So it's rubbish, ain't what he's trying to sell it muktamah. Therefore, the candle itself is, if you have just a candle that's not burning on Shabbos, I have candles that are not, I didn't burn yet. So the moment Aram says that's a push malach to the yisrael. A candle is a clay, which you normally use for light. You can use a candle to scratch your head if you keep the place in the Gemara, but normal people don't use it for that. Normally you use a candle to burn. So a candle is a clay shemalach to use. It's like a hammer, like a screwdriver. But it's not moved to mouth. It's only clay shemalach to use, and if it's in the way, you can move it away. But if the candle is burning, that's if the candle is not burning like that. If the candle is burning, then the candle, the wax candle is a buses to a double halter of the flame, and then the candlestick is a buses to the candle, and the tray on the bottom is a buses to that, and the table floor to the table, and the floor, well, the candle away. So everything that's below the flame obtains the status of a buses, and that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos. And on Yom Tov is not so, why? Because on Yom Tov you can light the flame from the other flame. So the flame on Yom Tov is a double sheesh for his conscience, with the name of the whole system, falls apart. And now that the flame is not moved, nothing is above. That's what the Gemara says in Teretz here, and the third Teretz in Shabbos. The question is, what's the issue? What's the issue in using the elevator? You're completing the circuit. Like plugging in a refrigerator, plugging in a fan. That you're completing the circuit. So that's assumed by the Chazanish to be a Melacha Deraita Matar Patish, and others assume that it's only a Melacha Derabban. So it's only a Melacha Derabban, you're still not allowed to do it. What about the Efka Goy? I'm not Efka Goy to do even a Melacha Derabban. That's a Shmuz the Shmuz thing I'm not. Unless you have a Shmuz the Shmuz, the Efka Goy to do a Melacha Derabban and it's permissible for Melacha Mitzvah. What's considered a Melacha Mitzvah? Let that person find it difficult to go to Shul if he's going to walk up the stairs by himself. Not up the stairs, down the stairs. It doesn't have to be a mitzvah derabim. If we're not a mitzvah derabim, we allow a mi'un anachi and a melacha derait. There's a difference. But any mitzvah derabim, we allow a shmuz b'shuz. The ask a goy to do a mitzvah derabim is the shulchan. I'm not like it, and the shulchan also assume that it's a mitzvah. On the assumption that we're generally assume that completing a circuit is only a melacha derabim, the woman would be permitted to ask a goy to put the elevator into functioning for him, for the purpose of doing a mitzvah, yes, to go eat his meal on Shabbos, they want to go walk up 20 flights of steps. One question is, but what about to do it every single Shabbos? That's the question. To rely on Shabbos, the Shabbos, you're not a mitzvah, they have to go to do a mitzvah in Rabbanon. If it turns up like that, then it's a mitzvah. But to move into an apartment house on the 50th floor and rely on this house every week, that's a Shabbos. That's the same Shabbos. That's not proper for you. So we're not going to say that it's only Mutter if it happens to be like that. Turns out like that, you have no brain in the community. But I interfere in our system, to set up a system like that, that it could say that like that, that's generally true, that it's not proper. Shabbos elevator, so you're not completing the circuit, it's going to go anyway. It's going to go anyway, yeah. The only thing is that on the Shabbos elevator's author, Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva that it's permissible. then before he printed, that's what he wrote. He wrote somebody a letter. Then before he printed the tshuva, a business suit got to him. Well, he got with his business. I don't know exactly who got to him. And somebody told him, look, this box that is most of them are not worried about. This box are hard to believe. So they threw it in on the secret that the more weight there is, the more electrical energy is being used up. Even though it's going to stop anybody on every floor and stay open for a minute or two, whatever, but still, if you walk on the elevator, so the more weight there is, so the more electrical energy is being used to have the apparatus function. So the question is, that what's wrong with that? It's because more electrical energy is being used to do the thing that's going to be done anyway. It's going to happen anyway that the circuit is going to be completed. So he writes in parentheses in the tshuva. First, he wrote the tshuva years before that it's mutter. The elevator's going when it's... Yes, the tshuva was about visiting somebody in a hospital. You're not allowed to ask the boy to take you up on the elevator, but it's there's a whole elevator full of people. They're going to the fifth floor, and you're going to the fourth floor, or you're going to the sixth, whatever. So you walk in the elevator also, and it's going to go wherever it's going to go. Then you get off, and you walk up, and you walk down the flight, whatever it is. And then before he printed the tshuva, so somebody got to him, and they told him that more electrical energy is used to cause the elevator to work. So he might be not sure, maybe that's what it is. To cause more electrical energy to be used to accomplish the same thing that's going to be accomplished anyway, he's not sure what to do. Not sure what to do with this electrical energy. What now he not? What is supposed to do? With it?
Yeah.
On what I think they have to go. Probably not such a great
thing.
I don't think so. If I walk into an elevator, but I enter the elevator, nothing happens yet. The only thing that's going to happen is when the girl's going to push the button. So when he pushes the button, he's doing the whole block. I didn't do anything. By my standing there, I have seen to it that he's going to do a malacha using more electrical energy. But if my walking in absolutely doesn't change the situation unless he does, then his pushing is the whole malacha. But if it's a Shabbos elevator that works on its own, then my walking in, my sitting there is going to know what the person is doing the malacha. It's happening by itself. And my sitting there is causing the extra electrical energy to be used to accomplish the same thing that would have happened anyway. That's what I'm going to find your answer. He's not sure what to do with it.
I think
he's trying
to
have a conflict with my business elevator. Really? I don't go to the hotels that often that have the Shabbos elevators, but the Balabatim tell me that it's a big problem because when you have a Shabbos elevator, the common practice is that the people always put their hands in the door to hold it open for longer. So the elevator is going to close and then it closes to stay open longer and then they close. And they, so what's wrong with that? I don't know. Anyway, getting back on the interface. So the... But he has this Ramban. This is a fascinating Ramban. The Ramban of Rav Kovalis claims that this is only the view of Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef, the last two on the road. That the Mashkashin Zav was a separate Zav, the Teretan Rosh was a separate Zav. And they had a dispute whether Beis and all the 400 is there or falls under that Zav. But the other Amoraim are of the opinion that these are not two separate Zavs, there's one overall Zav, a Malacha Shanat is Meileo, and Shabbat is also Lehonet Memena. The only time it's Mutal Lehonet is, if the Malacha was done, the Shulgoy, Malacha Shanat is the Shulgoy, Mutal Lehonet Memena. Not that the Malacha Shanat is the Shul Yisrael is also Lehonet. No. Even if it's not Nazi Bishul Yisrael, the only time you have a heckler is the Malach was Nazi Bishul Akum, then it's Mutal Lehan of the Men. Nazi Bishul Yisrael would be off. Okay. Yes? He puts out the net before Shabbat, has to go. The Kilos says has to go. He didn't do anything wrong. But then when the fish gets caught, even on Yom Kippur, not only on Shabbat, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat the fish. You're not letting the fish. Why not? The one shot in Ramban, that's what Taisha says, closes Muftas. He says, and give him along. Rashi says, it's the first shot in Ramban. The other shot in Ramban is, forget about Muftas. No, that was a different shot. Why is it forbidden to go fishing on the Yom Kippur? What's wrong? Fishing is a fun essence. The Taisha says, one shot. You may catch a trace of fish. But that's not the Einstein doesn't like that shot. No, maybe
because
some person talk to say Shabbat Tani has a children. Maybe it's not as well. We are mafia so much in the Shikra. We are to so many Zagelis and Shaitis and Nikra Dinagirimut. So maybe today it should be forbidden to Shef Sanyanta because he may make it Zagel and Shaitis. It's not a Gemara with Mutra because they had many more pullers. They knew the deal. It's not as well a Nachra and so many things that are really Mutra. So maybe since the percentage of non-edible behemoths is much higher today than it used to be, maybe not as well. If I shoot an animal, they'll both stay in the field of the Shabbos. David said he can't run around.
Why is that? Why is one thing he said,
one thing is dead, that's the field of the Shabbos.
Yeah.
And number two, it doesn't have the freedom to run around anymore.
Freedom
to run around. Well, but the two different offers. There's different one offers. You could have done one without the other. Okay. So then it's only Seder and it's not until it's the Shabbos. Now that he gave the second bullet, the second shot, and he killed it, so in addition to the Seder, he also violated the Shabbos.
Well, if you knock off a branch from the tree, you get
very
little difference. The offer?
Right. Right, like here we shoot one bullet at one shot of the bullet.
Why can't it make sense if you go up the moon yourself? Why can't the same cloud? Because the shooting is killing
it. It is killing. Killing is one thing, but number two, he takes away the freedom of the animal. It can't run around free anymore. So it's both safe. It's both safe. That's
what
it
is.
Some of that only goes if you have Mammon and Nisa, or Mammon and Malchus, but if you have Nisa, two Malchus, there's no place to say it's your and the first half of my and they prove that there is no such common with the that if a person does one pool, which is two Malchus, that takes that he says. The more has the case, I've kind of seen that a person that breaks off a branch from a tree, with the branch that he broke off his coat there. That branch of the tree is not attached anymore, like plucking off the vegetables, of plucking off flowers, of breaking off the branch, they can walk off coaches. But by breaking off the branch, he makes the tree grow better now. He pruned the tree so it's going to grow better now. So not only is it coaster, it's even Zareya. By doing one act, he does opposite malacha. It's going to grow more, the tree is going to grow more, and the branch is not detached. So he violates two malachas, coaster and Zareya. The Tosafot says, you see from these Gemara that there's no commonality with the Rabbinay. By two Chilul Shabbos with one pruning. You don't say that one, there's no Rabbinay. Which one is going to be the rabbi? Okay. Two chatzos. Well, the same Shabbos is there with us. Yeah. And chatzos will be there too. If I said for chatzos, he wouldn't say, Rishach has not been a chatzos. He'd say for chatzos. Okay. So that's what we're up to on that team of an hour. That was all business. Now we have to start. We didn't begin yet. You have an hour and a half from now. Okay. So we're on Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara in this Gemara, the Gemara rattles off. It took us a long time. The Gemara rattles off the four interpretations of the Mishnah. What in the world is wrong with eating a base of Shinoz of youngsters? It's a kosher hen, it's a kosher egg. Everything is kosher, chopped at a kosher level. What's wrong with the egg that was nulled of the youngsters? So the Gemara gave the four pshat. So the last two pshat were the ones that we were dwelling on this week and last week. One Amora claims there was Rav Yosef and there was Rav Yitzchok on the base, the second line from the bottom, and on Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line from the top. The last two suggestions of the Amora were that the base of Shinoz of Yomtiv is part of the Gzeira the Rabbanim of Mashmish Zavu, and the other one says the base of Shinoz of Yomtiv is part of the Gzeira of Paris on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that the famous Amora, Rav Yosef, who was preceded this Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok, he was the first generation of Amora. We know that he holds like one of them. The Asr Rav Yechanan Sovar, the line begins with the word Rav Yechanan, right in the middle of Gimel Amud Aleph. The Asr Rav Yechanan Sovar, there in Shemash Mishazar, Rav Yechanan also holds, like this strange pshat, that the base of Shinoldo is part of the Gzeira Mash Mishazar. What did Rav Yechanan say that leads us to believe that? Because Rav Yechanan had a kasher, he gave a teres, he gave a shtigl teres, he gave a shir. So from the whole shir, the whole truth of any gay, it's obvious that was his assumption. And based on all the Beyonce is included in the Gzeira Mashkishas of the Rabbi Yechanan, Rami, the Rabbi Yudah, the Rabbi Yudah, Umishani. He had a rumi, he had a contradiction between one thing Rabbi Yudah said and another thing, and he gave an answer. Umishani gave an answer. What was his kashin? What was his terror? So now we have a Mishnah in Shabbos
and document our parents, or help them mashkin, you're not permitted to squeeze out fruits or vegetables. Parents love that for fruits. You're not permitted to squeeze fruits or vegetables, not on Shabbos, not on Yom. So Yotam Yatman, and even if the juice came out by itself, Asurim. How do you have Yotam? That's how we gave the case. Let's say he's cutting grapefruits in order to serve it, and then the juice came out. Right. Or let's say you had all of the pile of grapes laying on each other, and then the pressure is going to squeeze out the bottom grape. Yotam Yatman says, Rabbi Yudah says it depends. In the Yochlim, if it's a grapefruit, and you're not interested in using this grapefruit to make grapefruit juice, in the factory, they're going to make grapefruit juice. You're not interested, you're interested in serving it as an entree. So the reason why you have grapefruits in the house are in order to eat them, it's in the bachiva. And if the juice loses out, you're going to make a gzeirah shem yitzchok. He's not interested in squeezing out the juice, so then there's no gzeirah. But if it's a lemon, and the lemon he has, in order to squeeze out the juice, if he cut the lemon and then some juice came out by itself, with that juice he's not allowed to drink. Unless say he has juice oranges. He has juice oranges and every day he squeezes fresh juice orange juice for the baby. And then after somehow a little juice loses out by itself, cut the juice orange, a little juice loses out by itself, so then if he uses that juice he's not allowed to drink. Because that free, that orange is aimed at lamashke. Your intention was to hold it around half in order to squeeze it out. But if it's an eating orange, not a juice orange, you didn't really intend to squeeze out the juice. Your intention was to eat it. Then there's no zayir forbidding you from drinking the mashkin shalom. You don't know. He says it depends. In the Oakland, if this thing is aimed at achila, ayet meh musa. Then the juice that was out by itself is musa. It doesn't make any sense to make a zayir de rabbana. He's not interested in squeezing it in the first place. The in lamashkin, and if this fruit or the vegetable is aimed at lamashkin, you're holding around the house in order to squeeze out the juice. Ayet meh musa. So then it loses itself. So what do you see, Rabbi Yehudah says, Alma, what do you see is the opinion of Rabbi Yehudah? Call Ochlim the Rabbi Yehudah. Whenever the fruit of the vegetable is only la'imah, we think, and the Jews do that by itself, there is no there at the Rabbanim. We say, Ochlim the Yifrat too. Ochlim the Yifrat may Ochlim. Yeah, it's not included in the there at the Rabbanim of Mashmash as well. But he says there are minu. So Rabbi Yehudah says, I have a contradiction. Rabbi Yehudah and Erevin, he dug up. Rabbi Yehudah and Erevin contradicts what he says here. It says in the Mishnah, there is in the Yodam Rav Yudah, there is an issue, I'll have to give a bit of an introduction to this, there is an issue when Shabbos begins, you're forbidden to do any malach until Shabbos is over. And for first Shabbos, then you're permitted to do malach. So what is that is the din? This is nothing to philosophize about. No, but the Rishayim have a dispute. What is the nature of the din? Do you say that every minute of Shabbos has a Dusha Shabbos? So you're not allowed to do malacha at 9 o'clock in the morning, on Shabbos morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, because every second has Kedusha Shabbos to do. Every minute that has Kedusha Shabbos, ask is the malacha. Hashid, that's the normal Shabbos. That's what the Rosh says. Hashid, you say, a whole fancy interpretation. There was. That the Tchilas Hayom of Shabbos is the Oyser. When Shabbos begins, that ask is the malacha, and you have to have the Sof Hayom of Shabbos to be master. Why in the Rosh did you want to say that? Because I found that's what the Gemara says. And Maharam Rutenberg says like that, and he says, that's what the Gemara says. Maharam Rutenberg, quoted by the Rosh, at the end of Moed Tzotah, has the following discussion. What's the din? Remember Shiloh says, what's the din if a man dies, and he leaves children to the children after the children? What if half of the children are by mitzvah, half of them are not by mitzvah? Usually you say that even a child is not by mitzvah, has to fulfill all the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are not done, the mitzvahs are not done, the mitzvahs are not done. So by Avelis, there's a big dispute, and we're talking that there's no Kinnah on Avelis. There's Kinnah on Ritz and Kriya that, yeah, that's the Ritz of full Kriya. But there's no Kinnah on Avelis. If you can convince the kids, you should tell them to go to Cheder to learn that he shouldn't be in Batra. It's hard to convince the child. Batra is not, he's going to do that. It's hard to convince him that he should go to learn. Okay, he's going to be wasting his time anyway. He's not going to be learning. He's going to be finished it anyway. But strictly speaking, it's not a basis for shit. The Shaila comes up, what if the child is holding by becoming Bar Mitzvah? Within a month of his Bar Mitzvah? Or more. He's going to become Bar Mitzvah within a month. So what's the din, a man died and was buried, and the relatives were not notified. And then you notify the relatives later. So the din, it depends whether they were notified within 30 days or after 30 days. If they're notified within 30 days, that's what we call Shmua Kerova. Shmua means notification of death. Shmua Krova, they're notified within 30 days of what? Another question. Within 30 days of the death, or within 30 days of the food? That's a different issue. We won't get involved. But within 30 days, we won't go into the detail. So if they're notified within 30 days of something, That's called the Shmuah Krovah. The notification was soon. Krovah means soon after the death. They found out. So then they have to sit Shiva and Shleshim and everything begin. And if they're notified late, Shmuah Rokoko, they're notified after the Shleshim is up. You only have to observe Avelis one day, even if they're parents, you only observe Avelis one day. And that one day you can shiva walk, and you can say Mikra Sayyam Kikulai, and they only have to sit Shiva for 1 minute. So they take off their shoes, and that's it. Take off the shoes for 1 minute, then they can take a shower, put back the shoes, and fast. They can go back to normal living. On the one day, they can top it up with Mikra Sayyam Kikulai. So the Maharam Rittenberg has the shiloh. And the way we assume, the children before Bar Mitzvah don't have any din of chinuch anavelis. That chinuch have everything else under the sun, gripping free, everything yet, but somehow or another anavelis is nothing. Whatever the reason is, there's no chinuch anavelis. So let's say the child is going to become Bar Mitzvah, but he's going to sit shiva anyway. What are you going to do? He's not going to go to chinuch, he's going to sit with the mother, with the brother, and he's going to sit shiva. But rubbish back, there's no chinuch. Let's say the kid becomes Bar Mitzvah within Shloshim. Now he has to sit shiva for real? But now he has to sit shiva for real? So that's what the Maharam Rittenberg said. Even Shulman Tatsman, I think, says the Rosh disagrees. Okay, okay. But the Maharam Rittenberg, you go to Kul if there's a machloikis and you don't know how to be machloikis, you go to Kul. So the Maharam Rittenberg doesn't have any machloikis. He says, in his opinion, when the child becomes a mitzvah within 30 days, so with the fact that he's notified, he's there by the father's death, by the father's funeral, he's there, that doesn't count as nothing but for a custom on a basis. But then the child becomes a mitzvah within 30 days, and now he is a Barsha Yuger, so that's like a Shiva Kleiba. He has to observe Shiva. And the fact that he did a Shiva before doesn't count. He has to sit Shiva all over again now. Hi, how can you have? Doesn't count? Similar. Right, then it's similar. So the Maharam claims over here, Maharam Rittenberg claims over here, quoted by the Rosh. This is the very last page in the Rosh, and by talking the third page is very long, as all of the Rosh are. So the very end of the Rosh, and by talking he quotes the Maharam Rittenberg, who had passed away already, the Rosh is rather than Maharam Rittenberg, quotes the Maharam Rittenberg, who said that if the child becomes a mitzvah within 30 days, now we have to ersh the shiv and shloish and higar, I think, because that's called Shmur Kroyah. I expect that Kasha, the Maharam, asked himself, what do you mean? I have to sit Shiva. But at the time of the day, the Nisa was not Mechayitim, so he was a couple. How can you say the Nisa was a Tzvura from 25 days towards Mechayitim for now? How can you have a Chiyah for later? So he says, I'll give you a parallel in the Gemara. The Gemara talks that in Yigomis, that's one of Dalas, is a Gemara. The Gemara talks about a child becoming by Nisa in the middle of Shabbat. The kid becomes a mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. How is it immoral? The kid becomes a mitzvah at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of Shabbos. There is one opinion that you become a mitzvah to the minute when you were born. If your mother gave birth to you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Zion Rosa, then you become a mitzvah at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Zion Rosa. That's one opinion. That's the Rav Soloveitchi thought that was a big joke. He was always talking about this and he would laugh when he just said it. But in the Shulchan Aruch, the quote with two opinions in text, half of the Rishon, not one thing. Yeah, joke, not joke. One opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. And even if you'll ignore that opinion, but still the Din says that you only become Bar Mitzvah if you have shown in Bishimon. You have to reach the age of 13, and you have such Shteisar is growing on the Eder HaErvor. So what if a person is 13 years old and Shteisar is not growing yet? So he doesn't need to become Bar Mitzvah. So what if the Shteisar is growing in the middle of Shabbos? He eats his shalom on Shabbos morning, Shteisar is growing, whatever. He eats some kind of vitamins. And then he gets stronger to the Shteisar. It's more talks about that. If the Shteisar is growing in the middle of Shabbos, so the child becomes a mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. So the Gemara has a Shiloh, and we have to observe, so up until the point that he was by mitzvah, you only have to observe Shabbos with the Rabbam and Mitam Chinam. What about the second half of Shabbos after he already is by mitzvah? So you say that since now he's by mitzvah, he has to observe the rest of Shabbos in the Torah. But you say, what are you talking about? That he wasn't by mitzvah at the beginning of Shabbos. So the Gemara says explicitly in the Rabbam, that's what the Torah is. So you have to observe the end of Shabbos Min HaTorah. So the Maharam Rittenberg says, not similar, he says it's identical. He says that the Machayim of observing Shabbos is the Tchilo Sayyid. That the Tchilo Sayyid on Shabbos, he wasn't Bar Mitzvah. So the Shabbos wasn't Machayim in anything. He wasn't Bar Mitzvah. It was one Machayim in the Rabban. A level of the rise of his garnish. Then he becomes Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. So the Tchilo Sayyid on Shabbos is Machayim in the later. The same is the same, exactly the same he says over here, there was that the Mitzvah Gvura is Mechayiv and Avera, the kid wasn't by Mitzvah, wasn't Mechayiv, but Mechayiv him later when he becomes a Mitzvah. So the Rosh said, even if the Rebbe passed away and it's not fair to argue that the Rebbe, after he's not arguing against the fact, Eim Nishinu Tzari Lacham Oso, after the lion died, you'll argue with the lion. Go fight with the lion while he's alive, he'll rip you to pieces. But the Rebbe dies, he can say, he's arguing with the Rebbe. He says, even though Eim Nishinu is the expression of the Mishnah, Eim Nishinu Tzari Lacham Oso, it's not fair to fight with the lion after he's dead. But he thinks that the Rebbe is wrong. Why? Because he says, what's the comparison on Shabbat? Every minute of Shabbat is Shabbat. If the kid becomes my mitzvah at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so the minute, that minute of Shabbat is Shabbat, he's forbidden to do melacha. Not that the tchilas hayom of Shabbos, atzeres, and the sof hayom of Shabbos is matir. But on the Yibar HaBeila, it's not automatically that it is, that the mitzvah and the tchur is mechayiv and avera. But if the kid does not come mitzvah then, it wasn't mechayiv, it's not going to be that it's mechayiv, and mechayiv is now, and it takes effect later, so there are 2 degrees. So that's what Ma'aseh HaLi follow. Because whenever you say, whenever there's a machlekes, and it's a veil, if we have a rabbi, my rabbi paskins oser, I'm stuck. My rabbi paskins oser, it's oser, there's no machlekes. But if my rabbi can't determine what the din is, because machlekes is rushing to Maharam Bismarck, my rabbi doesn't want to get involved in their machlekes, or whatever machlekes, if I should punch him, he doesn't want to get involved. As far as my rabbi's concerned, he doesn't know what the din is. Whenever you don't know what the din is, the klal is an aveil, the only tell the school. It's the same kind of puzzle. But in Avela, you always go, whenever there's any self-take at all, you always go to Kuv. So we go to Kuv on Rishon. But even though we assume the Kuv, the idea that the Maharam Rukmer developed seems to be correct. His understanding of Shabbat seems to be the popular notion in many Gemaras. If you wouldn't look in the Gemara, we would say the Rosh is right. Every minute of Shabbat has to be Shabbat. Yes, there's no Shabbat. But the Gemara in many places says it's not so. That the oyster of Shabbat is the Tchilas HaYoyim. And once, oh, and you see, by Muxtas, you know, the Rabban, you see, Nigel is Kassel of Erashmoshes, Kassel of Erashmoshes, whatever was Muxtas in the beginning of Shabbos, he named Muxtas at the end of Shabbos, you know, the Sibir Tahatsoa has disappeared, you know, the reason for being Muxtas is Sibir. Let's say the flame was burning on top of the candle, on top of the candlestick, on top of the tray, on top of the table. As long as it's burning, everything is buffing and stuff up. If the flame goes out, there's no reason why should you remain buffing. The Sibir Tahatsoa has disappeared, because the status of Muxtas remains. But let's say something became mixed in the middle of Shabbos. It wasn't mixed in the beginning. Something became mixed in the middle. And then it disappeared. The status of mixed in the middle of Shabbos. Once it becomes going to a good way, mixed in. The idea of Liga Discussor is only, if it was Liga Discussor, the Kino Sayyai, then it remains mixed in for the rest of the Shabbos. But it's not only still on the level of the Rabbanah. In more, in several places in the slides, it has to be on the level of their ISIS. But the Maharam Rukmer said, seems to be the understanding of the nature of the Dinam of the Shabbos. Not that every minute of Shabbos has to be Shabbos. That's true, but that's not the Yosef in Malacha. The Yosef is the Tchilas HaYoyim. So that's the theme that the Gemara is going to go into now. It's going to be a long discussion. We'll have to discuss it next week because Hashem, what's the thing when you have 2 days in a row? You have Shabbos next to Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is either on Friday or Sunday. So do you say that the Tchilas HaYoyim of the first day after, then the Sof HaYoyim of the first day is Matir, then the Tchilas HaYoyim of the next day after? It's a split second. The difference between the first day and the end of the first, the beginning of the second day is a split second. Did he say that, oh, so that's a machlekes in the Gemara, whether that's dusha, after shtei dushes, when you have Shabbat and Yom, the back-to-back, did he say that the oyster of the Tchilas HaYoyim of the first day remains for 48 hours? That's called dusha, but he say no. The oyster is up until the end of the first day. The Sof HaYoyim of the first day is a matzah, then the next second is an oyster again, and the Sof HaYoyim of the second day is a matzah. So that's a machlekes on a level of their oyster. We'll get there. We'll have to get there. Okay, we'll have to get there. So there are 4 different cases where you can discuss this issue. You can discuss it when you have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos. On our calendar, you don't have Yom Kippur school, not on Friday, not on Sunday, but the Maratan line, the Mishnah and Shabbos, how does that happen? So what's the deal if you have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos? That's one Shabbos. Then there's another Shabbos. What if you have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos? Yom Kippur next to Shabbos is not, as the Gemara talks about a little bit, but the Gemara doesn't discuss what it's the Shabbos. The Rambam, another Shabbos discusses the Shabbos. What if the Yom Tov falls on Friday or Sunday? That's the Shaila. What if you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah? You always have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. What do you say? That if Yom HaRitzah, that's what Yom HaRitzah means, that the Oseh of the first day lasts for 48 hours? And you say, no, it's not that Yom HaRitzah. The Oseh lasts for 24 hours, then there's a Matzah, then there's an Oseh for the second day, then there's a Matzah for the second day. And then there's the fourth day where the Gemara is going to dispute with this. What about a regular Yom Tov Sheni Shavuot? Because every other Yom Tov Sheni Shavuot, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Chag Teves, and
As Risha Pesach, that's not the same, not as common as the second day of Risha. Second day of Risha is more common than the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Gali with every other Yom Tov. So we're going to have to discuss these four cases. If you have Yom Kippur next to Shabbat, this is the Kusha, Hashtag Kusha, and the Yom Tov next to Shabbat, in 2 days Rosh Hashanah, those are on a level of the right. Yom Kippur next to Shabbat, the Yom Tov next to Shabbat. And the other two cases are on a level of the Rabbanim. What does it mean if you have the first day of Rosh Hashanah next to the second day of Rosh Hashanah? And then the fourth case is, what about any Yom Tov Sheni Shel Gali? Do you consider that day or not?
If we'll discuss that, then we're going to have to understand what is Rabbi Yechon have to speak.
Okay.
And he tells him, Allah from all of you are the book. So the Gemara in Rashi quotes, and the Gemara in Perek Gid HaMashe at the end, and I said, but cool, and the Gemara is bothered with the Kasha, whenever you visualize angels, the angels are always in heaven. But if you have a ladder with angels going up and down, the angels ought to be in heaven, they should come down a ladder, then they should go back up. How come Allah from all of them, the Lord from Hakma first is going up, the angels should have such a dream? Does anybody have a dream? The dream should make sense. They should first be coming down from heaven to see what's going on, and then go back up. The Rashi quotes in the Gemara, the Malachi, Tzadikim always have Kimalach and Sarah Shmuel and the Chol Rafah. Tzadikim always have Malachim going with them to be Malachim and to protect them, to defend them. So the narrative story is a separate set of angels, and the Kippur is a different set of angels. The angel of Israel is now about to run away to Aram, he's going to go leave the Eretz Yisroel. So the Malachim who was going with him, the Eretz Yisroel going up back into heaven, and the Malachim of Kippur is coming down. Then at the end of the set, we find Yankel Zinni came back from this Lord and was coming back there. This is the Yaakov Halach of Darko. Very last few seasons. They used to go to Malachi or the king. So the Malachim bumped into him. So he was Shema Makamahu, Machanoi, they called the place Machanash. So Rashi says again to the Medish. Which Malachim did he meet? The Malachim of this Lord was going back there. And the Malachim, new Malachim came from Eretz Yisrael because he's about to enter Eretz Yisrael. He called the name of the place Machanoi, Mazabo Machanah. The Machane of Malachi, Eretz Yisrael, is the Machane of Malachi of Chutz Lord. What's the idea of different Malachi? The Gemara tells us in the first Perek in Tainus, based on the Pasuk in Chumash, that Eretz Yisrael has more Hashgacha Pratis. A Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael has more Hashgacha Pratis than a Jew who lives in Chutz Lord. But it says, Eni Hashem of Kerepom, the Reish is Hashem of Arach Mishama. That's the name of the Baruch who is watching all the time. He negotiates and doesn't see what's happening in the rest of the world. No, when I look straight ahead, I can see that. I can see through the side of my eyes also. The back of my head, I can't see. The person has eyes in the back that he can see all over. But he sees more what's right under his nose. It says, is this, Kibayach, Ein Hashem Kechabor, the Yeshis Hashem Achashon, he really looks deeper on earth because that's where there's more Hashgacha Pratis. The rest of the world is also Hashgacha Pratis, but on a lower level. Of the Pashtus, there is a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether living in earth is counted as a mitzvah or not. So the Ramban says it's one of the Tariyam mitzvah, a mitzvah for living in earth is the Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah. Some claim the Rambam writes that all of these, but it's a mitzvah. So some claim the Rambam holds that it's only a mitzvah of the Rabbanim. Another say no, that the Rambam agrees that it's a mitzvah of the Rabbanim, but for some reason or another it's included in some other mitzvah. So which other mitzvah could it be included in? So some say it's included in the mitzvah of both mitzvah. You have to declare it as a mitzvah, there's not a star these days. No one likes to do zekas. You used to think that the Chassidish Rebbe had zekas, but it's a bit on anybody. It's always this, but a person has an obligation not just to do the mitzvah of Torah, but to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every person has the obligation to get closer, however close he is able to be. My makeup is such that I just can't get that close to the Baruch Hu, and I'm a very religiously good person. So you do the best you can, and you're fulfilling your mitzvah of Baruch Hu. If you have the potential of coming closer, you have an obligation to get closer. So if a person can move from Chutzpah to Eretz Yisrael and have more Hashgacha Pratis and thereby be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's included in the mitzvah of the Baruch Hu. So you should move to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Pashtus is, like Yankov Zinu says, Enza Kim Beitza Lekim, is there Shar HaShamayim? So the Gemara says, Rashi goes, you know, this ladder is The legs of the ladder were in Be'er Sheva, and the ladder went up to heaven, and the midway, the middle point of the ladder was over Yerushalayim. So the question was saying that King Beis HaMikdash, he was looking at the ground, and he said, that's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be, the Zeh Shaar Shemayim above it, because the Mikdash Shalmato is the Kuvim Kenegin, the Mikdash Shalmayim. If that's the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the Shaar Shemayim, the one who lives in Yerushalayim is even closer to the Baruch Hu. There was a joke going on a few years ago when Dagan visited the that he showed him in the Oval Office, he showed him that he had some telephones, that this telephone is, you want to call someone in the United States, and that telephone is when you have to throw it, you call the Rebbeinu Shalom, and that telephone, but you have to talk quickly and short because it's very expensive, it's long distance. And when Carter visited in the Yerushalayim, he showed him in his office, he also had two telephones. He said, this telephone is to talk on this road, and that telephone is to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom, he can talk as long as he wants, it's a local. So the Rebbeinu Shalom is there. So that's our joke, but that's what the post is. That's Shara Shalom. That's just a local contact. So a person who lives in Yerushalayim is even closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom. The fact, this is the pshat in the Mishnah, the end of Sukkot. The Mishnah says that even just like there's an initiative to live in Eretz Yisrael, one who lives in Israel has to be in Israel if he lives in Yerushalayim. Why? So the Chacham Sofer, she was saying, because the mitzvah of building Yerushalayim and living Yerushalayim is bigger. You have an option of going into construction. You can either build the buildings in Yerushalayim, or build in Tel Aviv, or build in whatever. In the negative, the bigger mitzvah to build in Yerushalayim, to pave the streets, to make buildings, and so on. The bigger mitzvah to build in Yerushalayim is to build the lesser itself. And he says that based on that mitzvah is the end of the system. And others disagree and say, no. The mitzvah of building Yerushalayim is all the same. Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv are the same thing. The mitzvah of living in Yerushalayim, that's a bigger mitzvah, because the mitzvah of living in Yerushalayim is a chayim to the mitzvah of the mitzvah to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the one who lives in the Yerushalayim, that's Shara Shalom. He's close to the even more Hashgacha process. There's different Malach in this, but there's more Hashgacha process. Doesn't necessarily imply that there's a bigger mitzvah of Yishin Poirot in the sense of constructing over it. It's a neglected mitzvah today. People think that if you were Zionist, you believe if you're not a Zionist, you know, it has nothing to do with your Yeh Zionist, no Zionist. This is one of the Dini HaTorah, whether a Muslim and HaTorah, Muslim and HaTorah, whatever it is. For sure, it's a mitzvah. To live in Eretz Yisrael, anybody has the ability to live and function in Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to move to Eretz Yisrael and live off of welfare, then it says in the Shulchan Aruch that there's no mitzvah. But if you have the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael independently, you can get a job and function there and make a living, then Mechol Adesh, it's a mitzvah to live here. Next week will be on Tuesday night, same time.